Blog Talk Radio.
Difficult day. We're at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. in Israel. So we're still in Tisha B'Av. I'm still fasting. I have 2 more hours. And I said to myself, is it appropriate that I should be doing a show today on Tisha B'Av, on the saddest day of the Jewish year? And I said, maybe, probably, if it weren't Parshas Dvarim, I might not have done it. But because of the fact that it's Dvarim, and it's a rebuke of Moses, of the Jewish people, and because here begins the fifth book of Moses, which differs from the other four, because here we're talking Moses. We're not just talking that Hashem is speaking to Moses and telling Moses what he should say to the people, but here it is a divinely inspired human mind that brings down to us a very human sort of God. I'm paraphrasing from the Gutnik Chumash. I love the Gutnik Chumash, and I love the Rebbe, and I love the fact that in this Chumash there is so much information that is an interface, really, between the humanness of our learning and Torah. And it says here, the Book of Dvarim was said to a generation which was about to enter the land of Israel, where food would not be provided miraculously, an extensive interaction with the mundane world would be necessary. As a preparation for this, the Jewish people were given the Book of Dvarim, which contains godly wisdom that has been brought more down to earth by Moshe. So it's not that Moshe is saying his own thing, but basically, consciously, it's Moshe speaking his own words. But on a deeper level, of course, we're talking about divine revelation, and that is why the Book of Dvarim is basically rebuke and tshuva. and an open door, an opening to our understanding of what really did we do to deserve today. What did we do to deserve Beit HaMikdash being plowed down, being destroyed? The things that I talked about on Friday with a very, very broken heart and a broken spirit. And when I'm reading the Parsha and learning all day yesterday, I'm saying to myself, I said, but here, basically, Moshe already outlines what the problem is. He outlines to the people, and he outlines it in 70 languages. He translated the whole Torah into 70 languages because he anticipated that the Jewish people would be exiled in the future, and he wanted to assure and ensure that they could study Torah in any language that they might come to speak. Basically, what is this saying? This is saying that already before the children of God, the Jewish people, the chosen people, go into the land of Israel, Moshe already anticipates Gola, diaspora. He already anticipates that there is going to be a loss of the land, but we're just going into it. We're just beginning the journey into it. But when you go through this parsha, you understand the history of our people from the onset. There's always this question here of, well, if I don't understand Hebrew, if I don't understand the Torah Hebrew, is it not appropriate for me to study? Or I'm not studying because I don't understand anything. Well, in Likutei Sichot, volume 36, page 38 to 40, the Rebbe translates this into our thinking, or he speaks about this. And here, in the Sparks of Chassidus, he says, why did Moshe bother the Jewish people to listen to 70 languages when surely most of the people were not familiar with the majority of those languages? Moses did this for the people's sake. Not really. But he did it for the sake of Torah. So Moshe's translation broke the barrier between Hebrew and all the other languages, making sure that the holiness of Torah remains even when it is translated into other languages. So, there is no reason not to study. There is no reason not to connect to Torah. There is no reason to understand what the Jewish people are, who they are, what Judaism is all about, why we are the chosen people, how we are the chosen people, and how our bond with Hashem is constructed over 5,000 years of history. the conversation really is another. And in this parsha, it's brought out very, very, very powerfully. If the Jewish people had trusted in God, nobody would have contested the Jewish people's right to the land of Israel. Likewise, in our times when the Jewish people will trust in God, that the land of Israel belongs unequivocally to them, and are willing to declare this openly to the nations of the world, then, as Torah writes, no one will contest the matter, and you will not need to go to war. In fact, even weapons will prove unnecessary, Rashi writes. That's a very, very tall order. But from the very onset, we got exactly the same conversation. When the Egyptians came after us, after we finally left Egypt, the conversation between the tents was, why did we leave? We had absolutely everything. Okay, so they killed our boys, and okay, so we suffered, but what are we doing here in the desert? What are we doing here? To die in the desert? We left Egypt. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, believe in Hashem, and when you believe in Hashem, you don't have to worry. But we didn't do that. We didn't do that. We didn't do that at any time. And Moshe says, I spoke to you, but you did not listen. You rebelled against God's command. You deliberately ignored God and went up to the mountains. The Amorites who lived in the mountain came out toward you and pursued you like bees. They struck you down. You came back and you wept before God, but God would not accept your prayers. He wouldn't even listen to you. Why? Because God said, don't go, I will not be with you. Don't go, I will not be with you. And he said it on many occasions. And every single time we did not listen, every single time we were struck. Moses sent spies, spy out the land. They come back with bad news. Oh, this land is not conquerable. There are giants there. They're much bigger than we are. We can never do that. Well, people, haven't you seen enough? You saw God open up the sea before you. You walked through it. You saw the fight of the Amalekites and you won it. You saw man come from heaven and you ate it. You complained about it. You saw birds and you saw water and you saw meat and you saw miracle after miracle after miracle and you complain. And Moses rebukes and Moses says, you're now going into the land. You're not going to have everything done for you anymore. You're going to have to work the land. You're going to become people. You're going to become a nation. You're going to be like other nations. And even though God is with you every moment, every second of every day, with his eyes upon the land, you are going to have to work the land. You're going to have to live with the land. And you're going to have to listen to Hashem. I won't be with you. I'm not going. I've only prayed 515 times, and God said, go away. Stop already. You're not going, and that's the end of it. And had there been just one more prayer, then there would have been Mashiach. So here we are, and God tells us through Moshe Rabbeinu, and basically that's really what we're talking about in this whole book of Dvarim, that God has brought down through Moshe Rabbeinu the word on a level that you and I can understand. For a Jew, interaction with the physical world involves sifting out the sparks of goodness hidden within the physicality known as the process of birurim, refinement, without becoming enticed and drawn in by physicality. Our daily interaction with the world is thus a form of war against the superficial, profane appearance of the world in an attempt to conquer it for the side of holiness. In other words, when the Jewish people follow God's will, the non-Jewish world will assist in the task of global spiritual refinement by preparing parts of the world, spiritual conquest, parts that the Jewish people cannot elevate directly. But this is really our problem. We think we can do everything. We think that with our power, we can do amazing things. We don't need God. We don't need Hashem. The people who are listening today, the people who are listening to this show, I am sure, fasted. And how many hundreds of thousands of Jews are there in the world today who don't even connect to the day of Tisha B'Av? Who don't even know what that is, who don't care what that is, who don't bother with what that is. How many of our people in the world have no clue what it means to be Jewish? Oh, the cultural idea of being Jewish is one thing. That, on occasion, you know, when it comes to not going to school or when it comes to having off for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I'm Jewish. However, that's not where it's at. This parsha, this portion of the week, words, things being said by Moses to the children of Israel, to what will be the nation of Israel. Those words are not just words thrown into the river. Those are pebbles thrown into the river that must have an effect, a ripple effect, on the oceans of mankind. This is the third of the Haftarahs of punishment between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of. Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for it is God and not me. We're talking about Jeremiah, who is speaking. I have reared and raised my children, the Jewish people, above all the nations, and they have rebelled against me. Even an ox recognizes its owner and a donkey its master. But Israel does not want to know me. My people who I have helped do not try to understand what is good for them. And this is what we do, day in and day out. And the prophecy says, when you spread your hands in prayer, I will turn my eyes away from you. As much as you pray, I will not listen, because your hands are full of blood. Cleanse and purify yourself by repenting. Remove evil deeds from my sight and refrain from doing evil. Learn to do good and support the oppressed. Demand justice for the orphan and plead the cause of the widow. What is he saying in this prophecy? This is the prophetic vision of Yeshayahu, son of Amos. All the prophets, all of them, spoke very much of the same thing, of how the children of God, the people of God, do not listen, do not communicate with God in the way that God wants us to communicate. And it's very clear on today's reading, when you read Eicha, which are the Lamentations, and you put everything together with this parsha, what have you done to deserve what you got? Hashem must have turned a page, because we have a land, and we have a land of milk and honey, and we have a land that is as beautiful and a microcosm of the whole entire universe. But what are we doing with it? Are we dedicating it every day to Hashem? Are we asking every day for Hashem's graces to please make us understand your words? 5 books of Moses, the entire Old Testament, that the greatest part of the world accepts. And we, the Jewish people, the people of this book, the people for whom the world was created, because before the world was created and before the Jewish people were created, there was the Torah. 5 books that would be given to Moses. And the Torah one day came to God and said to God, but why? Why are you giving these books to the Jewish people? You know that man is going to hurt you. He's going to misbehave. He's not going to listen to your words. He's not going to listen to your prophets. He's not going to listen to the humblest, the greatest of all prophets, Moses. They're going to do what you don't want them to do, and you're going to see it, and it's going to hurt you. And you're going to rebuke them and they're not going to listen. And the prophets are going to rebuke them and they're not going to listen. And they're going to be jealous and they're going to be hateful and they're going to hate each other. And you're going to destroy the temple. And God said to Torah, for this reason, I created repentance. I know they are not going to listen. And I know they're going to make me angry. And I know there are going to be those amongst them who are going to try to bring them back. And I know, but I also know
90 seconds.
That they're going to repent. And they're going to come to me with broken hearts and broken souls. And they're going to beg. And they're going to plead. And they're going to say, Hashem, here I am. Take me back. You gave me back my land. You gave me back my land. Now give me my temple. Give me Mashiach. Give me peace in the world. Devarim. This is my birth parsha. My name appears in the code. Have a week of blessings. With God's help, we will see each other next week. Shalom, shalom.
Ten seconds.